Great. So thank you for coming. So this week we're going to be discussing the following issue. Basically, how to be an Oved Hashem in tough situations, because it's always easy to be an Oved Hashem in easy situations, in times when you feel connected to Hashem, in times when you have the time and the wherewithal and the comfort to focus on Avodas Hashem, but how to do it in times when you're in a tzara, when you're in a more constrained or concealed environment. So we're going to develop one and a half themes, starting with the Sfas Nemes and this week's parasha. So let's look at the first source. It says Vayigash Yilav Yehuda. So this is the Sfas Nemes, his first drasha on parashas Vayigash. Vayigash Yilav Yehuda. At the beginning of the parasha, Yehuda approaches Yosef. Milashan Hoda'a, who call Ish Yisrael. So the word Yehuda refers to every Jewish person. Yehudi is a name for Jews, and Hoda'a means he's admitting or thanking. So what does it mean? Shemati me Adoni Avi Zikni Morav Rabbi Zatzal Shnikri Yehudim Alshem Shemudin LaShem Yisvara Alkal Davar Katan V'Gadol. Why are they called Yehudim? Because Jews are able to thank Hashem for everything that occurs, small or large. Sheyudin Shakol Mimeno Yisvara, because they know everything is from Hashem. Vaydei Zay Yichol Nigash, and through their knowledge that everything is from Hashem, they're able to approach. So he's going to explain what this means. This is the advice for any time when a person's in a constrained environment, a constrained situation, a tough spot, or just a time of Esther Panim, a time when you don't necessarily feel Hashem. Ha'itza, lez batil the ratzon Hashem Yisparach. What you should do is you should try to nullify yourself to the ratzon of Hashem. Ha'ilei shemivarir ha'adam etzlo, shagam b'tocha hester, so what should you do? You should look at this negative situation in the eye and try to clarify to yourself and realize that even this negative situation is really from Hashem. So you shouldn't try to avoid it. You shouldn't try to do away with it. You shouldn't try to live through it on a low. What you should do is look at it in the eye and say, this is a negative situation, I'm constrained, I have to study, I can't focus on what I want to focus on. It's Rasa Hashem, but I should be in this situation. That's what I mean, it's Vigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda approached him means to Hashem. How do we know him means Hashem? Vigam is that Nikra Hagasha Li Yosef. And in last week's parsha, Parshas Niketz, this first time I describe how Yosef is a reference to the inner Hashem in each person. So Vigash Yilav Yehuda means Yehuda approached Hashem through the tzara, and he's going to describe it a little bit more. If Emes Haya Az Tzara Ma'ud Yehuda, Yehuda was in a very tough spot. Like in last week's parsha, Yehuda says, "There's nothing really we could do." Faya Atzaso. So what was his counsel? To enter into the inner meaning of the matter. Not to try to avoid it, but to look at it in the eye and say, this is from Hashem, and this is what Hashem wants me to be doing in this situation. You look at Yehuda's speech, he didn't say anything that was new. He just repeated the events. He just repeated the entire narrative of events. So what's the purpose of repeating the whole narrative of events? So it could be for many reasons. But the Sfas Nemes says, it's to use Yusharan Etzlo, Ulukabil Ratzon Hashem Yisbarach Osemcha. It's to, like, sort of review it in his mind. Yes, this is the bad thing happened, that bad thing happened, that bad thing happened, that bad thing happened. It's a whole cycle of events in a negative way. So he can convince himself that everything is really from Hashem. And once you do that, Vaideshim Varavin Shuhum Hashem Yisbarach, and once you realize that this negative situation is from Hashem, Niskala Pnimios, then the inner meaning of what's going on is going to be revealed. And what happens? Then Yosef reveals himself. And Yosef was a reference to Hashem. And Yosef said, all the Egyptians have to leave. All these negative things that are on the outside and are concealing the inner Yosef are going to become batal. So again, in a negative situation, you might have various responses. I was just teaching Rabbi Soloveitchik. He has an essay, Catharsis. Maybe you've heard this. So in the essay, Catharsis, he describes catharsis of the religious sphere, which is these time periods of Hasdaras Panim, when you feel like you are connected to Hashem. A basic Salvatrix approach is basically to live through them and to say that, yes, there is a positive element in the fact that I don't feel Hashem at this point, because it's going to get me to do tshuva, but it's going to make my religious life less arrogant, it's going to teach me humility. The Chassidish approach is less to, I guess, revel in the fact you can't feel Hashem, and try to convince yourself that even the Hester Panim really is from Hashem. And once you have that consciousness, so then the Hester Panim is going to be removed, and you're going to be able to see the positive light in this series of events.
Sorry, he says that they see things like something b'simcha is like essential, or that's just like it could be b'simcha.
So my guess would be that he thinks it's essential. I'm planning on giving a separate one later on about the concept of simcha. I just define the parsha that it relates to directly, and we're going to see it. Because once the points are connected, because once you realize everything is from Hashem, so then there's no reason not to be happy about anything that's happening, and then. And the whole question is, like, what do you do when, like, something really bad happens? When, say, somebody passes away, chas v'shalom, so you're really supposed to be happy or not be sad because you realize everything's from Hashem. So the different rabbis give different approaches to questions like that. But in general, I'm right. But in general, the approach is that once everything's from Hashem, once you believe everything in, like, the extreme hashkacha, so then everything should be accepted by simcha. So we're just talking about how the Sfas Emes says that whenever you're in a negative situation, a situation of a tzara, of Hester Panim, you don't feel Hashem, you feel like things are constricting around you, his etzah at least is to look at things in the eye and say, not to try to avoid the situation, but to look at it and say, this is from Hashem, convince yourself it's from Hashem, convince yourself Hashem wants you to be in that situation, and the positive element involved is going to come out. And this idea that the way to find Hashem is dafka through looking at a tzara, through looking at the obstacles, and when you realize the obstacles themselves are from Hashem, that allows you to see what your role is, see the Avodas Hashem in that situation. Something which really emerges from the very, very early stages of Chassidus. I don't think we're gonna read it in Asai, but Keser Shem Tov. Keser Shem Tov is a compilation of things from the Baal Shem Tov himself. So there's a famous mashal which the Baal Shem Tov himself, according to Keser Shem Tov, used to say every Rosh Hashanah. Apparently, he thought it was something which is very important, which is that the mashal is for a king inside a palace. And the king, for whatever reason, sets up obstacles. He's sitting in the innermost point of a palace. He builds walls around himself, seven different walls. And by each wall, he puts up soldiers, he puts up wild animals, he puts up scary things, and he also puts up bribes, money. So that way, A, some people get scared off by the soldiers, some people get scared off by the walls, some people just take the money and they walk home. Nobody actually gets to the innermost chamber where the king is, except the king's son. The king's son, the king's child, is there. All he wants to do is see the king. He doesn't care about the money. He doesn't care about the scariness of involved. All he does is he gets to the innermost chamber. Let's just read the bolded part inside, which is the key point in the mashal. This bolded part in source 2. And shebino yedido his amitz ma'od shiilich dafka elaviv amelak. Right, the king's only child puts in an effort, goes to the king. Az ra'ash ein shem mechitza mafzik b'ino levin aviv ka'kol haya achitza zinayim. The son reaches the innermost chamber, he hugs the king, looks back, it's all an illusion, nothing really there. And for the Baal Shem Tov, this becomes a key mashal of how to relate to the physical reality, and we're going to see it gets extended to how to relate dafka to negative situations. Situations when there are obstacles, Nevodas Hashem, when you're in an esara or a time of Hester Panim. All you have to do is really try. Really try, really want to get to the king, realize all these obstacles are from the king, and then when you really get to that point, when you realize everything in the world is from Hashem, the physical reality and the situation that you're in, so then you could look at those obstacles, to what things that look like obstacles, things that look like towers and fortresses and soldiers and bribes, and they're not going to exist anymore. You're only going to see divinity, because you're every situation in the world, you're able to connect to Hashem through. So it's dafka looking back at those walls, at those impediments, at those obstacles, at those minios, which allows you to see Hashem everywhere. And just to quote one more source where this idea comes through, this becomes a theme, particularly in Breslov Chassidus. In Breslov Chassidus, they talk a lot about how to deal with minios, how to deal with bilbulim, how to deal with the fact that you're not always on a religious high. So there's a really fascinating piece in the Kutei Maran Siman Kuf Tes Vav. It's a little bit longish. I'm not going to read the whole thing. We'll just read the main points, the first two paragraphs. Are you guys Shuli Rand fans? Shuli Rand is a Yeah, he's the star actor in Ushpizen. He's the director and star actor in Ushpizen, which was the movie about Breslov Hasidim. And he put out an album, one album I think, of songs. So he has one song which is based around this piece in the Kuti Maran. I knew the song before I knew the piece, but once you read the piece, the actual words of the song come from the piece. So here it goes. It says, "Vayamor Ami Rachok Moshe Nigash Al Rafael Asher Shama Elokim." So at Har Sinai, the people stand back. Moshe approaches the mist. He approaches the dark clouds, because that's where Hashem is. So simple pshat of the pasuk: the people are scared. They stay back. Moshe goes through the clouds to Hashem. The clouds are concealing Hashem. But you could already see where Rabbi Nachman is going. That Rafael Asher Shama Elokim. As somebody is dealing with physicality his entire life. At some point in their lives, you get an inspiration, you want to start serving Hashem properly. So what's going to happen? Midas Adin is going to start persecuting you. It's not going to let you do Avodas Hashem properly, smoothly. It's going to order some type of impediment in your avodas Hashem. Umas diras atzmo kviyakol b'miniyah hazos, and Hashem is going to hide Himself in this miniyah, in this obstacle. So if you think about the imagery we have here, we have these dark clouds, and we have Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jews. The Jews stay back, and Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the clouds, Asher Shama Elokim. The clouds are representing the Mania, the obstacle in Avodas Hashem, whatever it is, either a mental state, an emotional state, a situation, lack of time. So what should you do when you're in that situation, when you can't serve Hashem properly? Umishu Bardas, Humistakal Bahamaniya, you look at this impediment in the eye, Umutse Sham Habori Barakhu. And there, in the impediment itself, you have to find Hashem. Yes, Hashem, I have no time. I'm running around like a crazy person. I'm doing all my errands. I don't have time to focus on my davening and my learning the way I used to. But I have to find Hashem in those errands. This is Rabbi Nachman likes quoting this Yerushalmi. Somebody asks you, "Where is your God?" Tomerlo, you should respond, "Bikrach Gadol Sheba Aram." In the big city in Aram, I think some of yourselves have Romi, in the big city of Rome. Shenemar Eli Korei Miseir. Hashem calls out to me from Seir, from Rome. So Hashem is found in Rome, in the place where the biggest tumma in the world, the place where the biggest impediments of Avodas Hashem. That's the place where you could find Hashem, as long as you come at it with the right perspective. And the only thing that changes is not the reality, not the situation, not your physical reality, not your time, but your consciousness, your perspective, how you view it. Misheinu Bardas, but somebody who doesn't have this level of consciousness. Once you see this impediment, I have no time to serve Hashem properly. You just give up on the whole endeavor. And in the story of Moshe and the Jewish people, the impediment is the cloud. Because the cloud is a dark cloud. The choshech loshon miniyah, and darkness is something which is an impediment. Kamoshekasov v'lo chasachta, and you didn't withhold. Again, it's a play on words. Chasachta is to withhold. It's also the same letters as choshech, darkness. So darkness is an element of withholding you from something. I guess we could all just understand it in simple terms. If it's dark, you can't get to what you want to get to. Biyamoda ami rachok, and the people stood back. Ki kishiro and ha'arafel, when they see the dark cloud. They stand back. They don't know what to do. Moshe, who symbolizes the proper Jewish consciousness, Nigash al Harafel, he goes to the clouds. Asher Shama Elokim. Reading the pasuk in a very precise way. It's not that Hashem is past the clouds. You have to get through the clouds to Hashem. Hashem is there in the clouds itself. Hainu el Hamaniyah. Shababi Atzma Nistar Hashem Isbach was in that impediment itself, in that cloud, that's where Hashem is. And this is one of Rabbi Nachman's ways of dealing with these bad times. Rabbi Nachman lived a very troubled life. He was constantly traveling, he was constantly beset by other people, he was constantly ill of health, he had some children who passed away, I think his wife got sick and passed away, he had a very, very troubled life. So one of the ways he, and all these things, I'm sure, kept him away from the type of Avodas Hashem he wanted to be able to do. So one of the ways he developed to deal with this is take this perspective that was Sfas HaEmet taught us, take this idea from the Baal Shem Tov, look at the Miniyah and say, this Miniyah is from Hashem, I'm going to serve Hashem through this Miniyah, not despite it. I think that's great, and it works for some people, and it works for some times. But I think that there's another perspective, which is found in Breslov Chasidus, which I think is more practical for many of us. At least it's much more practical for me. And that comes up in Sichos Aran Os Yud Beis. Sichos Aran was written down by Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, Rabbi Nachman's main student, and it's basically conversations he had with Rabbi Nachman, different things Rabbi Nachman used to say. So they're a lot less involved and complicated than the Likutei Maharan, which is like the real Torahs that Rabbi Nachman used to say. But a lot of the key Breslov ideas are found in a very clear fashion in Sichos Aran. So he deals with the same exact problem. Says Elu Harotzim Dios Anashim Ksheir. Let's say you have a person who wants to be a good person. Vlikhanes Bavodas Hashem. They want to enter Avodas Hashem. V'azayishlem bilbulim gedolim minios gedolos. But the moment they determine that they want to serve Hashem properly, they get a lot of confusion, a lot of impediments. V'inom yacholim l'seitz itzel anavsham. And they don't know what to do. Iklasos machmas gulte habavulim baminios. They don't know what they're supposed to do because of all these great impediments. Sheishlem. They really want to daven kavana. They just can't do it because of a million things that are going on. So in the previous piece we saw, Rabbi Nachman said, the minyan itself is the way you should serve Hashem. Here he sort of lowers his expectations. There's that. Shazam bi atzmo she misyangim luchutim lasos iza avoda olakadish atzmo beiza kedusha. The very fact that you are initially enthusiastic and you try to do Avodas Hashem properly, even though you can't fulfill it properly, that initial desire and that effort which you put in, even if ultimately you fail, is something which is inherently valuable. The very fact that you're putting in the effort and you're trying, even though you can't actually daven in kavana because of all the bilbulim that exist, but the very fact you decided you want to and you try a little bit itself is as if you brought a karban. And the pasuk says, Hashem, we were killed for you all day long. Again, it's really, and Pshat is talking about really being killed for Hashem. But the Zohar says, so this is referring to tefillah. We kill ourselves all day long, refers to the way we daven. So what does it mean that we kill ourselves when we daven? He says we kill ourselves trying to daven properly. We want to daven properly, but the Yitzhar doesn't let us. And we get so confused with all these confusions. We have to put an effort. And once you put in the effort, once you try, even if you don't narrow the daven properly, the very fact you put in effort, and you're really trying daven properly, that itself is as if you brought a karban. So here you have, I guess, two different perspectives. You have the ideal that the true chassid will look at the tzara, the hester panim in the eye, and say, "This too is from Hashem. I'm going to serve Hashem through this." And then the Sfas Emes says that the minios are going to go away. You're going to be able to find Hashem directly through the minios. Rabbi Nachman, I guess, at least sometimes is more realistic. He says sometimes you're just not going to be able to do that properly. You could try to convince yourself that the bavulim are from Hashem and try to remove them and try to see Hashem through them. It's just not going to work. But all you have to do is try. Once you try, Hashem considers it as if you brought a karban.
But you still feel far from God.
You still feel far from God. That's exactly what you have to try to convince yourself. That's exactly why he was writing these pieces. That the very fact you're trying is something which Hashem cherishes. And even though you don't feel the connection, you don't feel the spirituality, in the end of the day, that matters less than the fact that Hashem considers it a karban. Let's just see one more line, the underlined part in the next paragraph. It says, all you have to do is try your hardest. Lasos et shalot. Liga atma b'vodas Hashem, b'chol ma'ash yukal. To try as much as you can. Ves kol asher timsa yadcha lasos, asay. Whatever you could do, you should do. Af b'isha kasha lamo, even though it's very difficult. In the end of the day, even if you don't end up davening with kavana because of all the impediments, still, as long as you tried, Hashem is going to accept it. So here you have, I guess, two different perspectives. You have like the spiritualistic chassidish perspective. Everything is from Hashem. Connect to Hashem in a true way, in a meaningful way, in a feeling way through the tzara. And then you have the more realistic way of doing things, the sikhos haran, that sometimes it's just not going to work, and then you have to convince yourself, you have to really believe that your effort really makes a difference, and that knowing your effort makes a difference is going to encourage us not to give up, to try as hard as we can, even if we don't necessarily feel the avodas Hashem per se. So thank you so much. I think this is actually the last one for the semester, and.